Incumbent state lawmakers tend to do better at the polls in Illinois, but Republicans, backed by money from Governor Bruce Rauner, are looking to knock some Democratic incumbents out of their seats. At the same time, Democrats in the state are also looking to pick off some Republican lawmakers. Lee Enterprises State House Bureau Chief Dan Petrella recently wrote a story on the power of incumbency in state legislative races. I sat down with Petrella to talk about incumbency, campaign spending, and what it could all mean for the General Assembly.
I sort of based the story on a report that came out earlier this year from the National Institute on Money in State Politics, which is based out in Montana, and they looked at legislative races across the country in 2013 and 2014 and saw that 91% of incumbents won re-election in general elections, and that percentage went up to 94% when the incumbents had a campaign finance advantage over their challengers. And one of the things the Illinois Republican Party this year is doing, with a lot of help from Governor Bruce Rauner and a few of his other wealthy allies, is trying to fund a lot of challengers in some of these key races to tip that balance and sort of level the playing field when it comes to competitiveness in some legislative races.
Why is incumbency so powerful in state-level elections? What are some of the benefits of being an incumbent going into these races?
Sure. I talked to David Yepsen, who recently retired as director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University, about this. And it's something that the National Institute on Money and State Politics noted as well. And it really comes down to a couple factors. First of all, is just name recognition. You know, people aren't always that engaged with the state legislature, but if they know a little bit, they know who their local person is. And for the most part, they're elected because people in their area like them. And then that also lends itself to having a fundraising advantage, because they, first of all, often start off with money left over from the last time around when they ran. And then because people know who they are, they have a lot more connections to donors and groups that are looking to support candidates and things like that. So there's sort of a built-in institutional advantage when it comes to being an incumbent.
And your story also looks back to the 2014 election cycle and kind of looks at how incumbents did then and how money played a role. Can you tell me, take us back a little bit to what happened then?
Sure. In 2014, there was only one incumbent who lost in the general election. A few others lost in primaries or dropped out over the course of the year. But when it came to the general election, only then-Senator Mike Jacobs from East Moline up in the Quad Cities area lost. He had a fundraising advantage slightly over his challenger, now Senator Neil Anderson, a Republican from Rock Island. But some money that came from the state Republican Party and some other sources helped sort of level the balance there, and Anderson was able to unseat Jacobs, and that's sort of what the Republicans are trying to do across the state this time around. And there were, I believe, about 124 incumbents who made it to the general election cycle that time around.
When returns start coming in, what are some of the races you're going to be watching to sort of test this theory or to see, you know, which is mightier, the money or the incumbency?
This is particularly interesting for us because some of these very competitive races are in areas that our newspapers cover, particularly down in Southern Illinois, where the Southern Illinoisan is based. John Bradley, who's a representative from Marion, a Democrat who's been in the House for about a decade, and Gary Forby, who's a senator from Benton, who's been in the Senate for quite a while now as well, are top targets of the Republicans. They're really hoping to unseat those two. They've been spending a lot of money on campaign commercials since June on TV down there. I think a lot of there's been a lot of ads on both sides, and people in Southern Illinois are probably very, very ready for the election to be over. Mike Smitty, who's a state representative up in the Quad Cities area, is also a Democrat and another top target of Republicans. So those are a few of the races that I'll be watching. And then the Chicago suburbs, where we don't have papers, are also a very competitive area where Republicans are trying to win back some seats in areas that until very recently were Republican strongholds.
Yeah, the Southern Illinois races are particularly interesting when you consider incumbency, because both of those districts would normally probably be Republican territory, but the lawmakers, both Forby and Bradley, have been there for a while. People like them. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of how that plays out, why their incumbency is particularly important in those races?
Sure. And it's part of sort of the overall shift in party alignments that's been going on across the country for, you know, the past couple decades, where sort of more working class voters are moving from the Democratic Party towards the Republican Party. These are areas where coal mining has been a big industry for a long time, so there are a lot of union Democrats who, maybe in some of their political alignments are starting to align more with the Republican Party on some issues. So the Republicans see that as fertile territory for flipping some seats. And that district, so in Forbes's Senate district, there are two House districts, and all three of those districts are held by Democrats. Brandon Phelps is the other representative in that area. He's also a Democrat, but he was sort of seen early on as a target, but they've sort of backed off him a little bit there. But they really would like to turn that territory down in the southern tip of the state completely red.
And if the Republicans, backed by all this money from Rauner and a few other wealthy folks, are able to pick off some Democratic incumbents, what message will that send? What will folks take away from that?
The Republicans are really trying to say that it'll just level the playing field. It will make the state into a two-party state as opposed to one that's dominated by Democrats. And it will also show that this newfound source of money that the Republican Party has means that their issues have to be taken seriously. They need to be brought into the negotiating table because they have more power and influence in the state than they've had in a long time. And that's been a long-time complaint of Republican legislators, is that when they've been in these sort of super minority statuses in both of the chambers, that they're not given a voice in putting together legislation and putting together the budget and things like that.
And there are several Republican incumbents running for office this cycle as well, right?
It cuts both ways when it comes to incumbency. You know, we talk about Democratic incumbents a lot because they have had control of the legislature and drew the map the last time around. But there are a lot of Republican incumbents who aren't even facing challengers on the ballot this time around, particularly like in the Bloomington area. You've got two Republican state senators, Bill Brady and Jason Barrickman, who face no opposition. And there's a lot of other Republicans in safe Republican areas that aren't challenged. So it's not like it's a one-party thing. It's an advantage that plays to both sides.
You can find a link to Dan Petrella's story at our website, nprillinois.org.